Hello, and welcome to this podcast from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies.
Welcome to the latest Oxford Institute for Energy Studies podcast. My name is David Ledesma. I'm Distinguished Research Fellow at the Institute. And I'm today joined by Mustafa Uki, who is the Senior Research Fellow at the OIS. And we're here to discuss the messages that came from his paper, Africa's LNG Import Prospects in an Era of High Volatility and Uncertainties. That was published by the Institute at the middle of June. Now, in this ever-changing market, or as Mustafa says, a market of high volatility and uncertainties, I would like to timestamp this podcast, if I may, which we are doing on the morning of Tuesday, the 28th of June, 2022. Mustafa, welcome back to the OIS podcast series.
Hello, David. Nice to be here.
Great. Well, look, can I start perhaps with a general question? Africa is mainly a source of gas exports to the rest of the world, and because of the current war in Ukraine, EU member states are presently courting African countries to seek additional gas supplies to replace partly their Russian gas supplies. So why have you focused on Africa's LNG imports, not exports?
Yes, well, when you look at Africa, Africa consists of over 50 countries. And only six of them are presently exporting LNG or are LNG exporter, and they're mainly located in North and West Africa. I'm sure, but by 2030, we'll have another three or four African LNG exporter in the continent. But it's still a very small club, LNG club. This reflects, in a way, the fact that reserves are located in few sub-regions of Africa. However, if you look at the demand side, you see that there is an increasing or much wider interest in natural gas use all over Africa. And that could mean, you know, procuring through local supplies or even importing. So LNG is one of the options, which is not really talked about. I mean, the focus has always been on Africa's LNG export potential.
Okay, Mustafa, but also, you know, why focus on natural gas use, you know, which is a fossil fuel, while, of course, Africa is blessed with large renewable energy potential?
Well, this is a very pertinent question that is constantly asked by a number of parties. And yes, indeed, you know, Africa's solar and wind or renewable energy potential is huge. But the question is, how do you secure or develop this potential in a way that you can really rapidly scale up the thing? And if you look at the UN Sustainable Development Goal number 7, which states that we should have populations or countries should have affordable and clean energy access. If you look at that within the context of Africa, this is going to take a long time. If we look at renewable energy, especially variable renewable energy, which is solar and wind. Right now, if you look at the variable renewable energy, that is solar and wind energy, Africa total primary energy consumption is only about 2% at the moment. So there is a need for a massive scaling up of Africa's renewable, variable renewable energy potential to be able to fulfill this sustainable development goal. So it will take us beyond 2030 or even beyond 2030 to achieve that objective. Of course, you know, some African countries will reach that goal by 2030 or around that 2030, but the majority won't be able to really fully transition to this sustainable access to clean energy within, I would say, the next 10 years. So that's where the dilemma is. Therefore, wherever it's feasible, natural gas is going to be part of the transition or part of the pathway to the, in terms of energy transition. And whether gas supplies are procured locally or imported, that's a different thing. In fact, you know, if you look at the International Energy Agency, it is now acknowledging the fact or the role of natural gas in Africa's energy transition. That was highlighted, I think, last week in the Africa Energy Outlook that they've released. What I would like to say, it's important to keep in mind that in the long run, natural gas use will evolve in an environment where you have also renewable energy capacity being developed. In fact, if you look at it, there's a group of maybe four or five African countries where renewable energy is expanding very rapidly. But right now, natural gas has a role to play.
Okay, so how big, therefore, is the prospective demand for LNG in Africa?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dave, and that's why maybe the issue of Africa's potential LNG import is not really covered widely. If you look at the markets, the potential market for African LNG imports, it's nothing compared to the big LNG import market of Europe or Asia. But you do have niche market. According to the OIS analysis, the potential demand for LNG by 2030 could vary between 5 and 12 BCM. But you know very well, you're a gas man, once the gas infrastructure is put in place in those countries, there is always, and under the right condition, there is always potential to expand that demand.
Okay, so how, therefore, did Africa's interest in LNG imports evolve? And, what do you think the key factors were that drove that interest?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, Dave, if you look at from, I would say, the mid-2010 to until maybe 2020, we had a flurry of announcement about project or potential project, LNG import project in Africa. There was about a dozen or maybe over a dozen of LNG projects that were announced in different African sub-regions. But so far, only one project has been completed, and that is, the Tema LNG project in Ghana, but hasn't received any gas yet. There is also a temporary project in Senegal to import LNG. They got the FSRU last year, but same situation. No cargoes have been sent to that FSRU yet. Now, in terms of factors, you have a number of factors, you have the usual factors, but if I want to focus on some key factors, these will include, first of all, the rapid electricity demand growth in Africa, which continue to be growing at a high rate, the low gas hub prices then. You remember when we had very low gas hub prices that really put some African energy policymakers really get them very excited about importing LNG. And the emergence of flexible floating LNG import facilities, that's another thing like the FSRU, FSU, etc. And the last one, security of supply concerns in some cases. So these are were the key factors that really triggered this excitement in about LNG imports.
Yeah, so you mentioned, of course, therefore, low price and ability for LNG to give independence and security supply. But of course, the key drivers have changed in today's energy markets, which are, of course, characterized by high price volatility, security supply concerns as other parts of the world seek LNG for their security supply, and, of course, the whole energy transition uncertainties that you talked about with the use of energy transition and renewables. So my question, therefore, is how are these kind of new uncertainties impacting on Africa's LNG import prospects?
Yeah, that's the crux of the matter, in a way. If you look at the current stratospheric gas hub prices in Europe and also the Asian LNG market, the JKM, if you look at the level of these prices, there's no way that you will have a revival of Africa's previous enthusiasm about LNG import. But when we look at project, in terms of gas pricing, what is relevant here is when are this project likely to come on stream? And we know in this kind of project take time to plan, to develop, and especially within the African context. So that's, you know, the time framework is an important parameter. And who knows, you know, if you look at over the next 10 years, maybe the situation could change. We could have an over supply of LNG. We have seen that before. And that could change completely the dynamics, the market dynamics in terms of LNG import. Now, the question of security of supply, this is quite a fundamental one. I have to say that the current war in Ukraine has in a way focused the mind of energy policymakers in Africa. In fact, not only in Africa, but beyond Africa. And that has become a really critical parameter. So the flexibility of more secure LNG import are scoring, you know, or is scoring very high in terms of imports of gas, as opposed to what is being done right now. The fewer imports of gas within Africa is done through cross-border gas pipeline. Energy transition, that's another part of the paper I've looked at. The energy transition is causing one of the, or maybe exacerbating one of the key challenges that LNG project or oil and gas project in general in Africa, and that is the funding issue. The international or the increased pressure of international decarbonization measures are in a way putting pressure or forcing a lot of financial or financiers or financial sources to really stay away from the funding of oil and gas projects. And that restricting access to the development of this kind of project. If we look at what is going on, we could say that this international pressure in the short term is going to be reduced when we see that the EU member states are frantically looking for non-Russian gas supplies, when you see, you know, coal-fired plant being reopened in Europe, we could see that there could be a situation where maybe there's some more pragmatic approach to developing potential source of gas in Africa and also allowing exchange of gas in Africa, LNG import. But it's sending mixed messages to African policymakers and beyond about the use of fossil fuels. Now, I've mentioned the fact that the IEA is acknowledging the role of natural gas in the case of Africa, but we still have uncertainties. And you know very well, uncertainty is something that's really a major problem for financing. However, we have to say that in the long term, the way natural gas is produced, transformed, and consumed in Africa, it will have to change. And it will have to change significantly. The reduction of the carbon footprint of oil and gas operation in Africa is something that they cannot avoid in the long term. But in the meantime, pragmatic approaches are needed.
It's interesting. And of course, one of the other changes, which I think is part of the pragmatism, is rather than just kind of seeking to export LNG out of Africa to other parts of the world, is actually keeping the LNG potentially within the continent itself. So my next question would be, you know, what do you think the prospects are for intra-African LNG trade? You know, will that actually be able to assist in meeting the LNG imports and also in sorting out some countries' energy balances?
There have been very limited exchange of gas or trade of gas within Africa, and that has been done through a cross-border gas pipeline. Now, I still think that it's going to be difficult to, in theory, if you look at the numbers, if you aggregate the numbers, of course, Africa can very comfortably supply the 5, 12, or even 20 or more BCM that is, you know, the LNG import potential of the continent. But in reality, it is not happening, and we see very limited trade. Now, we're likely to see an expansion of intra-regional trade in Africa, and that will be through LNG. And we have also already, you know, a couple of projects. I could cite the FSRU project linking, or that would be linking South Africa, Mozambique and South Africa. So those are kind of encouraging projects that will expand the use of LNG, African LNG, within the continent. But it remains limited.
Now, of course, the next COP meeting, the COP27, is being held in Egypt in November this year. So I just perhaps would like to kind of turn the conversation, if I can, for a couple of minutes to talk about that. You know, could the COP27 actually change the prospects for LNG imports into the subcontinent, do you think?
Not in the short or even maybe medium term. I mean, COP27 will take place in Egypt, which is Africa's largest consumer of natural gas. The message that Africa will need to reduce its carbon footprint of all its fuel or all its fossil fuel operation will be reiterated, as you know, it was done in previous COPs. But for a continent that generates about maybe less than 3% or even, let's say, between 3 and 4% of total global greenhouse gas emission, and where you have millions of African households without access to electricity, this message will be difficult to pull through unless you have some credible commitment to address Africa's repeated request for financial support for mitigation and adaptation measures. So that's what I think will happen.
Okay, Mustafa, we're now unfortunately kind of coming to the end of our podcast time. But, you know, over the past kind of 20 minutes or so, we've discussed certainly a lot of issues about Africa, subcontinent, and its challenges. Now, I always like, as you know, to end the podcast by asking you a difficult question. You know? And so where will it end up? You know, will Africa's previous enthusiasm about LNG imports actually be revived? Or do you think it's going to become reduced and we're going to have the same challenges that we are, coal increasing to drive security of supply and maybe lesser focus on gas and the energy transition? You know, what are your views? How do you see your kind of future vision for Africa?
The current high gas price volatilities and the energy transition uncertainty that we've just discussed have undoubtedly dampened Africa's keen interest in LNG import. In the short term, decisions about LNG import are going to be postponed or abandoned altogether. However, some African countries' interest in LNG import is unlikely to disappear. But this will critically depend on international energy market development over the next 2 or 3 years, or maybe even longer. So that's how I see things evolving in terms of potential or the prospect of LNG imports in Africa.
Well, look, Mustafa, thank you so much. A great insight into an area which people, I don't think, talk about enough in the LNG business itself. And as always, of course, I enjoyed our conversation. And just to remind you, Mustafa's paper, African LNG Import Prospects in an Era of High Volatility and Uncertainties, was published by the Institute in the middle of June. So Mustafa, thank you very much indeed. And to you, the listeners, I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Thank you and goodbye to everyone.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies. You can find other podcasts, as well as all our written research, on our website at www.oxfordenergy.org. If you would like more details about our oil, gas, electricity, or China programmes, then please contact us at information@oxfordenergy.org.